You're listening to a Dwell Community Church production. If you'd like to check out more resources, visit dwellcc.org.
Continuing the study of many of the Psalms, right? And continuing, especially looking for what we can learn about effective prayer, since the Psalms mostly are prayers, and they teach us how to grow in our communication with God. This morning, we're going to do something a little bit different. Normally, as you know, we're taking one psalm and looking at it. And this morning, we're going to take portions of two different psalms that teach about the same topic. And the topic, something that's not relevant to any of us: flourishing spiritually in old age. Yeah. We're going to look at a portion in Psalm 92, the last four or five verses of Psalm 92, which kind of describe for us the kind of flourishing that God is God's will for us as seniors, as we enter into what the passage, the psalmist calls twice, old age. And you know, we live in a youth-crazed culture, and youth is great. But I think one of the byproducts of that is that this stage of life is viewed culturally almost exclusively in terms of decline, and in terms of what we're losing, in terms of what we don't have anymore, and the bone that is thrown to this stage of life in our culture is, this is a time to kind of be self-indulgent because you've earned that. And you know, in Scripture, we get a very different perspective. And that's what I hope these two passages will unfold to us. Psalm 71 is the prayer of a man who is now aged. And we're not going to look at that whole psalm, but we're going to look at, through that psalm, what he prays about that leads to the kind of flourishing that Psalm 92 describes. Okay, so that's our roadmap. That's where we're going. Let's start with this snapshot. The psalmist in Psalm 92 says, "The godly will flourish like palm trees and grows like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and very green," in the Hebrew. "And they will declare," or they will show forth, "the Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him." So let's just take a little closer look at these four verses. You notice twice the author uses the term flourish as he thinks about this stage of life. That's the predominant thing that he thinks about. Well, it's a time of flourishing. And notice the different ways that he describes that flourishing. He says, they'll flourish like palm trees. They'll flourish like the cedars of Lebanon. Well, we don't live in Lebanon. And unless you go to Florida, you don't see a lot of palm trees. So it could be kind of hard for us to know what he's getting at. One commentator, Derek Kidner, I like his work a lot, says that what he's referring to is the palm tree kind of represents a graceful uprightness versus being crooked and bent over. So again, he's not talking primarily about our bodies, because our bodies do droop some as we get older. But he's talking about the person's spirit becomes more upright in an attractive way. And of course, the cedars of Lebanon represent strength and majesty. They were sort of like our massive redwoods, and prized for their lumber. And so he's describing a life of increasing uprightness, a life of increasing sturdiness, strength, and a certain dignity. Everyone admired the cedars of Lebanon. They're so tall, and they had a dignity about them. And he says, this is what the godly can be like in old age. He says in verse 14 that even in old age they will still produce fruit. Again, our culture thinks of youth and midlife as periods of productivity, and senior life as period of leisure and non-productivity. But he says, oh no, they'll still produce fruit even in old age, and they will remain vital and very green. And so the idea here that he's drawing attention to is that there's an ongoing spiritual health or vitality or aliveness. People who are older can be very alive. That's the idea. And people who are older can be productive, very productive. True, we can't do as much I can't run anymore. I can't even work in my garden as long as I used to. But that doesn't mean that I can't be very productive in very important ways. The idea of fruit in the Bible not only refers to continuing character development, which our culture unfortunately does not prioritize, that our characters can continue to mature and continue to ripen. And the idea of fruit in the Bible also usually refers to our impact on other people, because fruit is not ultimately for ourselves, it's for others to benefit them. And so the idea of potent impact, spiritual impact on other people, continuing into and even flourishing in old age, he says. That's a beautiful picture. He says in our little passage that specifically their lives will declare, and the idea here is not just verbal, but it includes that, but it's that their whole lives, the things that we've just discussed about their flourishing, along with their words, will send a message to the watching world, to the people around them, a message about God, that God is a just God, that God is a dependable God, my rock, that God is a good God. He's saying, in old age, we can be potent living proof that God is real and that God is good. I remember as a young Christian, I received Christ just as I was graduating from high school. And one of the early influences on me that helped me so much was being exposed to godly people who were, even then, senior citizens. And Martha McCallum, who was sort of my spiritual mom, one of the great things she did for this church is that she would persuade godly men and women who were older than her to come and speak, teach the Bible, etc. So I remember as an 18-year-old college freshman going to a meeting, and here Martha introduced this old guy named Chaplain Welch, Evan Welch. He had been chaplain at Wheaton College for many years. And I thought, well, why is he here? This is a college Bible study. And you know, if you would have asked me what did he teach about, I think I've long since forgotten that, but what transfixed me was just his love for God and this very clear sense that he was more alive with and more in love with God. I remember at a certain point him very briefly, and not making a show, but very briefly, he wept over how good God was. And I thought, oh, if I could be like that. And so she brought Chaplain Welch. She brought Oswald Sanders, who when he came here was 90 years old. And I remember the one message I remember from him more than any. I was probably in my 30s, prime of life, supposedly. He says, we can keep growing in God our whole lives. That just stuck with me and others. So this is this is the picture, not of what can be true about seniors in certain exceptional cases, but this is a description of what God says will be true of our lives at this stage, if we know him and if we walk with him. And we'll look more into the how in just a moment. First, we need to be excited about the what. In our little passage, he tells us that the key here is not that these people finally learned how to unleash their own inherent goodness. There's not much of that, as you go on, you realize that more and more. It's not that they learn certain, spiritual techniques to harmonize with the spiritual energy all around them. There's a kind of generic spirituality that's very popular in our culture. He said, no, the key here is that they're this way because they've been transplanted into the Lord's house. He's still using the tree image, that he's saying they were trees that were far from the Lord's house and they were not flourishing. But they've been transplanted into the Lord's presence and they're flourishing because of their access to the God of the Bible. I, earlier this spring, was rummaging around in my backyard, and I discovered a little, you know what redbud trees are, right? We just had their flourishing. And I found a little redbud tree. It was just a little twig, and it was in bad, pure clay soil, and furthermore, it was covered over by an invasive honeysuckle, which we have a lot of. And I thought, I love redbud trees, but that tree is never going to flourish where it is. And so it required radical surgery, right? I went out with a shovel, and after clearing away all the other competitors, I dug that thing up. I thought, it's got to be in full sun to have a chance. And so we'll see. That's what I did this spring. We'll see next year how successful I was. But that's the image. He's saying, the people who flourish in old age are people who have been transplanted into the presence of God. And of course, we call that transplanting conversion. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, in other words, he's saying that this is derived from establishing a personal relationship with the God of the Bible. Not just spiritual energy or your goodness. And Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 reminds those Ephesians, you lived in this world without God and without hope. That's the red bud in clay soil under underbrush. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. So our opportunity to flourish spiritually in old age is contingent upon asking God to transplant us into his presence by receiving the forgiveness that he bought for us through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And if you've never made that decision, if you've never said to God, I realize that I'm far from you, but I want to be near to you. And I realize that you say the way to being transplanted near to you is through Jesus and his death for me. I want that to count for me. That's how you get transplanted. Now, as we all know, though, you can be transplanted into the house of God and still not flourish spiritually in old age. I named some of the people that older people who I met who were this way, but I have also observed through the years many older true Christians who are not this way, and they who shrivel, who become, as C.S. Lewis said, one everlasting grumble, right? So this is God's will for all of us who have received Christ, but it's not automatic. There is, once you've been transplanted by receiving Christ, then there is a cooperative role that we must play. That cooperative role is referred to elsewhere as an attitude of faith, an attitude of trust in God. And that is what I want us to spend the second part of our time here this morning. How is it that we cooperate with God so that he may flourish us? And we get one answer to that question in that passage in Psalm 92. You remember he says, the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. And that's a contrast to something that he said earlier in the passage in verse 7. He says, but the wicked sprout like weeds, and evildoers flourish for a time, but then they'll be destroyed forever. So he's describing how the godly grow to be like trees, whereas the ungodly, the people who don't know God, who don't follow God, they just spring up like weeds and then they're gone. Does that remind you of any other psalms we've studied in this series? I'm going to give you a big hint. Does it remind you of the first psalm that we studied in this series? That's the right answer. Yes. Well, it's almost certain that this author is thinking about Psalm 1. Because Psalm 1 is undoubtedly an earlier psalm, and so he's echoing the same contrast that was there in Psalm 1, which we studied long ago. You remember that there the psalmist says, the godly are like trees planted along the river brook, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves don't wither. They prosper in what they do. Very similar to our description of flourishing in old age. But not the wicked, he says. They are like worthless chaff. You know what chaff's? That outer part of the popcorn, right? I roast coffee beans. And at the end of each cycle, this hopper is full of chaff that's gotten loosened through the roasting process. And you just open it. If there's the slightest breeze, it just carries it all away. Insubstantial, non-nutritious. Right? And do you remember what Psalm 1 said was the key to those who become like trees? Does anyone remember? They delight in the instruction of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. So here's our first cooperative key. If we want to continue to flourish spiritually at this stage of life, he's saying you become like trees spiritually as you keep cultivating that habit of meditating on the Word of God. The Word of God is spiritual life. Jesus says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. And so as we meditate on short passages of God's word. They act as some kind of spiritual medicine, like in a lozenger. As you suck on a cough lozenger, it releases the medicinal values that help you to recover from a cold. He says those who wind up being like trees in old age are those who've developed the habit of digesting God's word in this way. Not just George Mueller was a great Christian who was like a cedar of Lebanon right till he died in his 90s. And he said, when people asked him, "What's your secret?" He said, "The constant recuperative power of the word of God is my main secret." And he said, "Don't just read the Bible like water going through a pipe." He says, "But read and then ponder what you've read and digest it and say it back to yourself and say it back to God and apply it to your situation today." That's what meditating is. And you notice he says, meditating on it day and night. That does not mean all you do all day, every waking hour, is think about God's word. But he's saying this has become an established habit in your life, where you have developed the habit, and this is mainly just between you and God, of taking a small passage of scripture that's already caught your attention and ruminating over it in this way. No one else sees this happening most of the time. But one of the good things about getting older is that hopefully we're less addicted to what people see about us, think about us, right? Sucking on that lozenger. So we can do this even as our mental faculties decline. My mental faculties are declining. I can tell. I cannot hold in RAM what I used to be able to hold. I can't remember as much, but I can take a little passage, like maybe this passage in Psalm 92, and I can meditate on it. We're not talking about perfection here, folks. We're talking about direction. Are you progressing in your meditations on God's word? There'll be a direct connection between that and your spiritual flourishing. Now let's move over to Psalm 92. And as I said, here's an author who's in the latter stage of his life, and he is flourishing. And so in Psalm 92, we get a window into his prayer life. And you would think his main prayer would be, "God, I'm old, make me flourish." And that's certainly, that's a legitimate prayer. But it's interesting, what he does is he prays about certain things, and he prays for certain things that he knows are related to flourishing spiritually. And so that's the window that we want to look into just for a couple of moments. And I see, and there are probably more, I see four ways that he prays that as we cultivate praying along these lines, one of the outcomes is going to be increased flourishing in our own spiritual lives. One of them is that you see throughout this psalm, as an older man, he's asking God to protect him and sustain him. He says in verse 1, "O Lord, I have come to you for protection. Don't let me be disgraced." And I think here, he's not worried that people might not like him. He doesn't, as a representative of God, he doesn't want to disgrace his reputation. "Save me and rescue me, for you do what is right. Turn your ear to listen to me and set me free. Be my rock of safety where I can always hide. And now, in my old age, don't set me aside. Don't abandon me when my strength is failing." I think this is the prayers that express dependence on God. You know, the Bible says that our root problem is self-sufficiency anyway. And I think when we're young, we're more prone to just depend on ourselves, right? Our wits, our physical stamina, our good looks, whatever, our education. And then as we get older and our capacities begin to diminish, many of us begin to depend more and more on certain other people to protect us and to sustain us. And this man is deepening in his dependence upon God to protect him and sustain him. Doesn't mean that we don't need friends. Doesn't mean that God doesn't work through other people to lift us up and meet our needs. But there's a deepening focus on realization that, you know what? When all is said and done, I'm utterly dependent upon you. You're really the one that I have. You're really the one that I can depend upon. And I think old age is, and I'm just beginning down into this stage, I think it's an opportunity for us to actually grow in this area that many of us have known for decades is important. We know that it's important to abide in Christ because apart from him, we can do nothing. But as our other capacities begin to diminish, there's the opportunity to deepen in our dependence on God and to look to him each day in additional ways that we just look to ourselves or others for before. We see him emphasizing his prayers of praise to God for how God has saved him. He says, "My mouth is filled with your praise, and I declare your glory, your magnificence all day long. I will praise you more and more." So he's still growing in this area. "And I will tell everyone about your righteousness. All day long, I'll proclaim your saving power, though I am not skilled with words." Isn't that beautiful? Here's an inspired psalmist whose writings wound up in scripture, but he says, "I'm not very skilled in words." Most of us can relate to that description. "And I will shout for joy and sing your praises because you have ransomed me. You paid the price to set me free." And so his prayer life, this man who is flourishing in old age, his prayer life has a second theme that's getting stronger, just to thank and praise God for how God has rescued him, how God has saved him. Old age is a time when a lot of people get nostalgic in a debilitating way, where we just think about when we were young and healthy and when we had these things going on in our lives. But I think there is a good nostalgia, and it's not only nostalgia, but there's a good nostalgia that as we get older, we look back with ever more fondness about that day that we came to Christ and our appreciation of what God rescued us from when we met Christ gets deeper and deeper and deeper. I think that you see that in Paul. Paul loves to think back to when he met Christ because he loves to think about, "Oh, so I had no idea of the ripple effect for good that that would unleash into my life." And we're in a position now at this stage of life to really see a lot of what we've been saved from. Sometimes I like to try to imagine what my life would be like now if I hadn't met Christ. I can't really conceive of it in detail because it was over 50 years ago, but I can imagine that it would not be pretty. And then I think about, well, all the goodness that God has brought into my life. And it goes back to that day that I met him, but it goes back further than that to the love of God who sent his son to die for my sins and then who came out to find me where I was deep in the weeds. Older people who are flourishing spiritually, they like to praise God. And we can praise God in a lot of ways. We probably all have our own ways of praising God. The point is that that's more and more dominating our bearing and our communication with God and in front of others. That's part of how we become an attractive tree that points people to God. Then we find that in this psalm, this man who is flourishing spiritually in old age is still asking God for opportunities to serve him. He says in verse 17, God, you taught me from my youth, and I constantly tell others about the wonderful things that you do. Now that I'm old and gray, I'm too tired for that. Is that what he says? He says, now that I'm old and gray, let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all those coming after me. And so here is the prayer of a man in old age saying, you've still got significant spiritual work, spiritual ministry for me to do. I do not have the same physical and mental capacities. I get that. But you've still got new work for me to do for you. And God, show me the work for you that you have for me to do in this stage of life. Some of you have been very busy for the Lord in earlier decades, and so now the challenge is, show me what it looks like now. Some of you, I'm not thinking of anyone in particular, and I might be wrong, some of you have spent basically your whole life without asking God to show you how you can serve him. And you still got a great shot to do that. Don't think about how you could serve God in the next few years based on how you served him or didn't serve him in the past. You, until your last breath here on earth, you can be greatly used of God to impact other people toward Jesus Christ. And one of the, you know, I find that people as they get old, they get into mental ruts. Their lives get in a rut. And we have become less and less willing to try new things because the limitations, we feel afraid, and plus we're familiar with what we're familiar with. And then the more we stay in a rut, the more our fears dominate us until we get to where we can't hardly do anything. And spiritual flourishing means resisting that steadfastly with the power of God and saying, I'm willing to have you lead me into things even that I've never done before, as well as to give me the stamina to keep serving you the ways that I have been before. That's part of being, of flourishing in old age. You know, for some of us, and with him, he's saying, I've still got a job to do to pass on what I know about you to the younger generations. And that's an opportunity for us in various ways. I'm grateful that I still have the opportunity to teach much younger people and to even mentor some younger people in our home group. And there may be ways that God has for you, young neighbor, a young family member, someone much younger who is responsive to God. God may be drawing them to you just to be a friend, just like when I was in that age, just to be encouraged by the fact that, look, it's possible to live your whole life for God and grow in wisdom. But we don't want to limit it to just serving God by passing on what we know of God to the youth. We've got our own mission field. We've got vast numbers of people in the same stage of life that we're in, most of whom don't know God. And he's positioned them, us among them, as neighbors. He has positioned us among them as longtime friends. Some of us have been led by God to go into care facilities where whole groups of people who are seniors most of whom don't know God, and begin to befriend those people and to talk to them about God and to invite them to meetings like this. And you know, we have a mission. That's our mission, is to reach out to other people in this stage of life and help them get to know who Jesus Christ is and help them to grow. And we want others to share what we have in this meeting, and we want to start more Bible studies out there for seniors. And we had some going before the pandemic, and we want to restart those, and we want to start others besides. So all of you may have a role there. You can have a role in serving others through your intercessory prayers. And Ajith Fernando says that's the most powerful thing we can do in God's service. And that means that even in old age, we can be powerful prayer warriors. But you know, you're not going to just wake up and suddenly at the age of 80 be a powerful prayer warrior. We need to start exercising those muscles now. And we can become increasingly financially generous as we have means. And that's a whole other topic. But there are so many ways that we can continue to serve God in this stage of life. And that's vital for our flourishing spiritually. It'll be age appropriate. Don't worry about that. J.I. Packer says with regard to this, ask God how you might do the best with what you've got, and to continue giving all you can for as long as you can. I love that. Ask God how you might do the best with what you've got, and to continue giving all you can for as long as you can. Each of us who is willing will be found to have a great deal to give in some mode of ministry, which can, in practice, be invaluable. And then lastly, we see in Psalm 71, this old man who's flourishing spiritually is in his prayers looking forward to the future that God has planned for him. Here's where we're so different again from our culture. In our culture, you know, death is the great obscenity that no one will talk about. We have a million ways of hiding ourselves and other people from our mortality. But that gets harder and harder to do as you get older and older, doesn't it? And we don't like dying. I don't think anyone should like dying. But we don't fear death because it is the portal into this eternal life that we've been promised through Christ. And so he says, you've allowed me to suffer much hardship, but you will restore me to life again and lift me up even from the depths of the earth. You will restore me to even greater honor. We feel like the time of being honored is past, but we're going to be honored by the Lord himself when we get into his kingdom, and he'll comfort me once again. Are you, you know, old age, among other things, is the time to really get down to some serious anticipation of what's in store for us. We all pay lip service to that. I mean, I, as a young Christian, it's like, great, I got eternal life. That's great. Now what's going on? Right? And it's not until your body starts to fall apart and you start to have health issues or whatever, that's the time when we have the opportunity to really begin to take this next life seriously and to really begin to anticipate it. Just like, well, you know, next week my wife and I are going to get a chance to go on a little vacation to Michigan. And, you know, I'm weird because I have to say that I enjoy anticipating a trip. Probably as much, sometimes more, frankly, than the trip itself, right? And that can be a problem. But I, for the last couple of weeks, you know, we've never been to this place before, and I've been learning about the hiking trails that are nearby and this, that, and the other. This is the time, with God's help, to begin to really anticipate the homecoming. And that is going to breathe that hope into your soul, because you're forward focused. You're not clinging on to things that are leaving you. Again, Packer says, as seniors, bodies of powers of body and memory and creativity grow less, so their conscious focus on their hope of glory should grow sharper, and their meditations on it should grow more joyful and more sustained. And as this happens, passion to continue to be of use to God and to his people should, and it will, intensify to the very end. Boy, he's put his finger on that flourishing, right? The passion to be used of God to the very end, and the hope that feeds that passion. That is a beautiful picture. So, again, we're not talking about perfection in your prayer life. One guy said something that stuck with me through the years. He says, if you want any Christian to feel guilty, just ask him about his prayer life. You know, because there's always, oh, I don't pray as much as I should, or this or that. It's not about perfection. It's about direction. Is your prayer life growing in these themes? There's going to be a direct connection between that and flourishing spiritually in this stage of life. That book that I quoted twice is a little tiny book, and I'm thankful that it's in larger print. It's called, by J.I. Packer, and it's called Finishing Our Course with Joy. Some of you, I think, have read it. Now, if you've not read it, I highly recommend it. And it would be a great book to read, you know, with a couple of folks in your home group and to discuss it. It's all about what we've been studying this morning. Let's pray. Lord, now we thank you so much that it's your will for us to flourish in this stage of life. And thank you that you give us a lot of instruction in your word about that that's your will, and that how you want us just to cooperate with you by faith. We thank you, God, for this particular ministry, which others have had the idea to start. We're grateful for it, and we know that each of us has a part to play in this ministry, this mission, as well as many other areas. So show us, Lord, the ways that you want us to serve you in this stage of life.
Thanks for listening. This has been a Dwell Community Church production.